I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, a semi-live broadcast from the late evening banks of the Ocklawaha River. I'll be your host with cool jazz and the blessing of contemplative conversation. Isn't it interesting how there are people most of us have a real connection with in this world? And though we may not see them sometimes for years, when we do meet them again, it's as if the conversation from years ago just picks up where it left off. That is a big wow to me. I have no idea how that works, other than it is probably supposed to be the way our lives go with God. Did God speak to you? That's the topic on the table, and is one of three totally imperative questions all serious believers should ask themselves at some point before they move out into their providentially orchestrated destiny, where using all their gifts and talents in Christ will come to bear upon a lost and fallen world. I must say I am totally amazed at what other people hear. Once upon a time in a small home church setting, a woman expounded on the scriptures a little bit. I probably should have been listening to her, but instead I was watching the people in the room. I watched their facial expressions, body postures, and all those subtle micro-communications we all do, but aren't conscious we are doing. When the lady was done, and I thought what she had to say was very concise, easily understood to the point, and truly had a profound insight, I jumped in and asked this question from each person around the room. Of what she said, what did you hear? There were 11 people in the room, and incredibly, there were 11 variations on what she said. I thought, how can this be? It was all in good-hearted fun, but my experiment didn't stop there. I attended different small meetings the next week and asked the same question. Again, each person seemed to have heard something different. The situation actually got worse when one fellow was angry and explained his frustration with some other people in the room. What was heard was even more widely varied. It seemed evident to me the people tended to close their ears to his anger and frustration. How can we all hear the same thing, but somehow come out with different interpretations, and some just plain old wrong? Being able to hear is a gift of God, and listening, really listening, is a talent, a learned thing which is also something brought to us by the goodness of God. Brought to you each morning by the goodness of God. We hear the world around us, near and far, and nowadays, by way of the internet, we can even hear people on the other side of the world. Even people who are hearing impaired have a sense of hearing in a way. They may interpret it differently than those of us who hear, but it is a perception of sound in some capacity or another. How many of us stop to hear? Do we sit in silence and listen to what is in our spirit, in our heart? Maybe some of us practice so much introverted listening, we are the only voice we hear. Think about that. Well, tap your toe and dream a little, and I'll be right back. It would seem that so much of what we hear and how we interpret what we hear is refashioned in our minds to fit each of us as individuals. I've often found, with many inmates, that the words which go in their ears often become part of the daydream of a life they only imagined they wanted to live. Their eyes are looking at you. They nod appropriately and may even voice an opinion occasionally. But if the conversation goes any deeper than just the surface, there is the growing sound of white noise. It has become their habit to take in information and, instead of hearing and letting God's words reshape them, they make the words to fit what they've imagined. Deuteronomy 32:1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. The way the Hebrew reads in Deuteronomy 32:1 means that God is saying for mankind to not only hear what he's saying, but to pay attention. Think about it to understand. To take God's words at their face value and hear them for what they are in all of what he means. The Hebrew word to hear is often translated as to listen. It doesn't appear the translators were always consistent. Not to mention there is another word that is used for to listen that is spelled entirely different than hearing. The other word for listening is often translated as give ear or lend your ear, and there is a sharpness implied, the same as sharp weapons, which in this case of hearing means hear with a sharp knife, divide carefully and understand, be present in the room and pay attention. So Deuteronomy 32:1 would read, O heavens, if you will hear me with a sharp ear which divides up and inspects closely, I will give you my words. Additionally, let the earth hear and understand what I'm saying. It's a statement which says, basically, this is important. Pay attention and let these words sink down into your ears. Yield and let yourself be persuaded. There are no places in the New Testament which use the words give ear. But in Luke 9, where Jesus said in verse 44, let these words sink into your ears, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. The phrase sink into your ears has the same implication as to hear with a sharp discernment, divide carefully and understand. He's saying to think about this. Don't just hear with your ears, but roll it around in your head and heart and dissect it with a sharp knife to hear what I'm saying. Statistically speaking, 40% of people spend the bulk of their time thinking about yesterday, which is locked in stone and does not change. 40% of people spend the bulk of their time thinking about tomorrow, which has not happened yet. And only 20% of the people are actually in the room listening at any given time. That says to me that 100% of the people may be hearing, but only 20% of the people at any given time are present enough to potentially hear with a sharp knife, dividing carefully and understanding. Do you hear the voice of the Lord? And no, I don't necessarily mean the voice which rolls like thunder and changes the shape of the landscape around us. What I mean is, did he speak to you? And if he did, what exactly did he say? To answer that question, we must be conscious and in the room. We must be willing to take his words at their face value and contemplate them, dissect them, search them out, compare them to Scripture to legitimize them. I believe taking God at his word is a learned behavior, and living in a world where so much of what is said is not reliable to be true. We need to know the Lord our God is the one and only consistent and repeatable source of reliability. Well, now, speaking of face value, so much of everything in the media influences people to take things at their face value, which in this case means the superficial appearance or implication of something, especially when it's less than the actual value. We are constantly asked by the news media and our government to take everything seen as probably real. We are repetitively shocked to find out things were not as they were posed. Taking someone at their face value is more like believing what they say without needing proof. Yet increasingly, more and more people are requiring proof of what is portrayed and declared. I figure God has given us plenty of proof and confirmation that He is who He says He is. Yet many folks say God doesn't speak to them. Okay, but here's the rest of the question. Why wouldn't the Lord speak to you? Now there's a question in great need to understand and investigate with a rigorous honesty. Jeremiah 13:15. Hear and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Hear and listen are used in the same sentence, meaning we can do a comparative analysis. One possible reason we are constrained in our ability to hear God is right there in verse 15, implying that pride restricts our hearing and impairs our ability to understand. I don't know where you are, but in my life, I can certainly see where I've allowed pride to impair my ability to hear and understand. The Lord does and will speak to us, so let's give Him some credit here that, one, He wants us to hear what He's saying, and two, can you imagine what He would speak to you? That's right. Consider. If you don't believe God speaks to you, ask yourself the question, if God were to speak to me, what would He say? And you can't just spit out some glib answer, something like, "Well done, good and faithful servant," in King James English. Give the Lord some credit that He might have something more personal to talk to you about. If He did speak to you, that is, what would He say? I fully believe God is speaking to us currently, as in every day. I'm fully convinced it's not that He isn't speaking. It is us who are not listening. As a believer, and yes, hopefully that's you, hearing from the Lord is absolutely vital for our stepping into His providentially orchestrated destiny. Yes, He does speak, but listening and taking Him at His word is our decision, which we must exercise, and no one can do that for us. I seriously do not believe the Lord will force His words upon us unless absolutely necessary. Like in Philippians 2:10-11, where it says, "At the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." By the time we get to that place, bowing our knee and declaring Jesus Lord and God is not a choice. It was not a suggestion or a request. Oh, I see. But until then, Hearing and taking to heart the word of the Lord is a choice we must make, and He will do everything in His power to encourage us to say yes to His values. Adopting God's values over our own is a real turning point in our lives. It's a game changer for sure. When we constantly choose God's values over our own, His voice becomes clearer. It is a way of positioning ourselves to hear, which means God wants to be involved in even the tiniest detail of everything we do. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. In my early days as a believer, no one told me God would or would not speak to me, but in my mind, I saw no reason why He wouldn't. I held a very simple view of the whole thing. I figure He has a mouth, I have ears, it only makes sense He would speak and I would hear. I reckon what I'm getting at, though, is nobody told me God would speak to me. I went through all sorts of backflips to try and be right enough to make Him speak to me. I went to church every Sunday morning and night, and I was there on Wednesdays when the backbone of the church showed up. I observed all the right rules and was a diligent reader of my Bible. I've heard that expectation is disappointment just waiting to happen, and I don't really know that to be the gospel truth. But at the time of my early life, I truly did begin to experience the disappointment of poor expectations. I think I was expecting some huge, earth-shaking, cataclysmic event to occur when God spoke to me. I often felt like I was standing on the high cliff of expectation, just waiting on the long fall of disappointment. One day, I think I woke up and realized the Lord had been speaking to me. It just was not how I thought it was going to happen. We all wonder at some point in the course of our lives, is God speaking to me? Consider that He probably is, and maybe our ears aren't discerning enough or our eyes are just not seeing Him. Ask Him the question, where do I need to be and what do I need to do in order to hear You better? Then wait. Wait. He will answer. Oh yeah. He is faithful and He will answer. I think most of us, in our times of pondering, we wonder, why would God even speak to me? I have a question too. Well, why not? You know, you can't be right enough, and you can't be good enough to make Him speak. Just like it is your choice to hear, it is His choice to speak. Are we looking for words from the sky somehow? What would it take to convince you that the Lord is speaking to you? Maybe He is speaking in another way, like through Scripture, because He does communicate with us through Scripture, you know. Reading the Word reveals that He does, indeed, want to talk to us, and really, really will lead us to a place of peace. Friends, the more you hear Him, the more you'll hear Him. God is good all the time, and even when we are in the middle of catastrophic circumstances, He is still good all the time. For me, I never hesitate to take what I think are the smallest things to God. After all, nothing about us is too small for Him to express an interest in. I believe the Lord has the most important stuff to say in the entire universe, and I'd really like to hear it. I mean, with all my heart, as best I know how, I want to know what God has to say. I'm always looking for His communications with me. Like Peter said in John 6:68-69, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God. It seems maybe many of us are sort of afraid to say the words, God spoke to me, fearing our peers would sneer and cast doubt at us. You know, there is an old joke that says, when you talk to God, we call it prayer, but when God talks to you, we call it schizophrenia. Honestly, hearing the Lord is very, very different. People with schizophrenia who hear voices hear them frequently, and the voices are incessant. They often hear them sometimes like a rain of sound or a relentless hammer. They hear not only sentences, but paragraphs, words upon words upon words. And hearing from the Lord is very different than that. You are not crazy, and the Lord is speaking to you. What are some of the typical characteristics of people who hear from the Lord regularly? I suppose, firstly, they are constantly pursuing a personal relationship with God, and they fully expect that God will talk back. For most of them, most of the time, God talks back in a quiet voice they hear inside their minds or through images that come to mind during prayer. But many of them also report sensory experiences of the Lord's presence, and by sensory I mean taste, touch, smell, hearing, or seeing. I have often smelled grapes or vanilla, and have several times been in a room of people all praying and worshiping, and everyone smelled grapes or vanilla. And no, we were not hallucinating or delusional. Another characteristic of people who hear God is they are usually avid readers of the Bible. The Lord uses the Scriptures to speak regularly. You may be reading along, and suddenly something just seems to jump off the page at you, or you get the feeling of having the dots connected and things suddenly make sense. He is speaking to you, and it should be taken seriously. Prayer and worship are big contributors to putting ourselves in a position to hear the Lord. Henri Nouwen said, prayer is the beginning and the end, the source and the fruit, the core and the content, the basis and the goal of all peacemaking. I should ask another sort of prickly question, though. How badly do you want to hear from the Lord? If you answered pretty badly, then be encouraged to believe that if you ask, He will answer. Chances are good you'll have to learn to wait, but He will answer. He may answer right away, but other times you'll have to persist in prayer, reading your Bible and worship, and learn to wait.
Wait.
Psalm 145, verse 15. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. T.M. Luhrmann, a psychological anthropologist, wrote that science cannot tell us whether God generated the voice that Abraham or Augustine heard, but it can tell us that many of these events are normal, part of the fabric of human perception. History tells us that those experiences enable people to choose paths they should choose, but for various reasons, they hesitate to choose. God speaking to us should be the norm, not the exception. What is it which constrains you? If we don't hear from God, who are we hearing? Because I can assure you, most all of us are hearing someone, and we really need to discern just who we are listening to. Now I'm going to say that again in hopes we all will listen with a sharp ear and dissect it as it pertains to us. If we don't hear from God, who are we hearing? If we aren't listening to the Lord, who are we listening to? If we aren't obeying the Lord, who are we obeying? And why is another voice allowed to supersede the voice of the Lord with you? When we do hear the Lord, we know it's Him, and even though we believe it's God, why are we still hesitant to choose to do what He's proposing? Is it that we love to hear from the Lord but hesitate at the responsibility? So let's suppose you do hear the Lord, however that occurs. For us to be at a place in our hearts which decides it really is God speaking to us, we must have exercised the choice to believe it is the Lord or not, and fortunately, we have elected to go with the declaration, God has spoken to me. This is good, very good. But then we must decide. Now what? We can elect to take it to heart and chase after Him to know what to do next. Or we can elect to run around and tell everyone, God has spoken to me, God has spoken to me. We could be diligent to write it down, but then never let our faith take His words off the page and turn it into action. Some folks write their dreams down, which is a good thing, but more often than not, we then just clap our hands together like little children at a circus, glorying in the fact God has spoken to us, but never really pursuing Him to understand what He means when He says what He says. When, not if, but when we hear from God, let's get in the habit of pulling the letters apart to understand, looking between the pages into God's library of wisdom to grasp the Father's heart and see into destiny. Do more than hear, but listen. For example, we all consider that we have heard the Lord speak to our hearts when we read Luke 10:27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. Most particularly, notice your neighbor as yourself. At this point, we need to dissect the words of Jesus to define who is my neighbor and how do I love myself. Because if we'll cast a net at our own feet, chances are good we'll cast a net at our neighbor's feet. And how about the heart, soul, and mind part about Jesus' statement, which means all your breathing, all your thinking, and all your feeling. In other words, with all you've got, including all your money and time. That's pulling the words apart to understand. Then, yes, then, we must pursue Him for how to do that and put our shoulder to the wheel to make it happen. Did He speak to you? How can you tell? Do you have a process to verify what you heard lines up with Scripture? Because that's where the buck stops, you know. God never violates the principles of Scripture. Listen up. God is speaking. Are we listening? Put your ears on, friends. The days are upon us when hearing God is of utmost importance. And think about it. Once God has spoken, it never ceases to be spoken. If God has spoken to you and you've missed it somehow, don't worry. He is faithful to bring back to you everything He has said at the time you need to remember. He is faithful and His heart is for you to succeed. Dr. Adrian Rogers wrote, "This may not come as a surprise to you, but God is speaking to you right now. Maybe not in the same way He did when He spoke creation into existence or when He instructed His disciples on the hillside. But let me assure you, His voice still goes forth. Look up, look down, and look in. Look up. God is speaking to you through the inspiration in His creation. Look down. Read and position yourself to carefully consider the words of instruction He has given through His Word. Look in. Allow your heart, your soul, and your mind to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Think of it, and I mean marvel at this. Stand in awe of this. The God who keeps watch over the nations, like some people keep watch over cattle or stock markets or construction sites, He still speaks in the 21st century. If you're told God doesn't speak anymore, don't you believe it. He has a mouth, and you have ears, and it is the exception to not hear the Lord. If you seek Him, He will find you. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, a semi-live broadcast from the deck of a rural cafe overlooking the broad and beautiful Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. This evening's music was by Antoine, Andreas, Earl, Keith, Pierre, Joe, Dieter, and Pat. All music uses licensed by BMI. Support was from Living in His Name Ministries, Longview Video Works, Cheese and Crackers Lunch Bar, high atop Mulberry Mountain, the Mebane Freedom League, Area 22 Guitars, Sisters Coffee Company, and of course, the ever-shining Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Did the Lord speak to you? Well, if He did, would you take it seriously? God is speaking. But I suppose the question is, are we listening? And I mean more than just hearing. Are our ears sharpened to dissect His words and understand? Friends, you can do this. It is time to take a chance. Exercise your faith. Get out of the boat and walk on the water. Pray for your neighbor. Walk carefully and be discerning about what you endorse and what you say yes to. And remember, if you're too busy, you're the one who said yes. Don't just agonize over your busy life. Do something about it. Be strong and courageous, and we'll talk next time. Amen.